Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We have a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes, from setting a post or pouring a walkway to installing concrete block or natural stone. We've got the mix you need in stock today. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
And we are rolling along on a Monday. I am Vanessa Richardson at Sports Vanessa. He's Paul Gallant at Gallant Says.
Boy.
On social media. We're having a good time. I had a great week in Indy. He had a great weekend, which left him hating life yesterday.
Well, listen, I watched The Batman, and it's so dark. I mean, I went down a rabbit hole last night of listening to Nirvana songs. If you've watched The Batman, no spoilers, but a song by Nirvana that, me being completely musically challenged and not discovering grunge until 5 years ago.
No.
Seriously.
Are you joking?
No, I'm not.
So what
I liked Pearl Jam, but I didn't know. I didn't really know about the grunge genre.
Okay. But here's the funny thing.
Yeah.
What made you just, like, how did you just discover it 5 years ago? Like, what made you discover it?
I forget specifically. It might have been Chris Cornell passing. Honestly, I'm not 100% sure what it was, but yeah, I just went on a Spotify. When I got Spotify, Spotify has opened up my musical taste in ways that before I never really opened up, because I just used to listen to sports radio and then sports podcasts. And then all of a sudden I started listening to music the last 5 years, a lot more. Again, still musically challenged, still learning things, but
we're making progress.
So there's a song called Something in the Way that's prominently played through Batman. And it's just like really like, something in the way. And you see Robert Pattinson in the movie, you know, formerly a chain smoker in the Twilight franchise.
Yes.
That's at least what he looks like. And he crushed it. He was awesome as the Batman. And I don't know. I just got down this rabbit hole of grunge and darkness and nothing mattering, you know?
Yeah, well, rock
on,
fun. Man.
Sunday Scaries. Yeah, they were great.
For sure. We finally heard from somebody that we've wanted to hear from in a while.
Yeah.
And Jack Easterby has not met with the media in a year and a half. He did meet with the media, Nick Caserio and Cal McNair did speak about him at length in Nick Caserio's introductory press conference, but that was over a year ago.
Right. You want him to speak more frequently, correct?
I want anybody in a leadership role of a front office to speak more. I would love to hear from Jim Crane more.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to hear from some of the people. Actually, the Rockets are pretty good about it. We hear from Rafael Stone a lot. But I'd like to hear from Tillman more. I'm a fan of that. Keep in mind that I'm a reporter as well, so it's one of those things where I just like the content, I like the quotes, I like the clarity, but not everybody thinks that's necessary.
I go back and forth on this, and
okay.
Again, now that I'm in my, coming out of my Sunday Scaries on this cloudy, gloomy day, listening to Nirvana all day, my nihilist side is like, what's the point, man, if these guys talk? Because they all, sometimes I do want to have these people actually be held accountable to answer questions, to at least be made to squirm. But there are other times where I wonder, well, what is this person actually going to say when put into that corner?
Like, will it all be PR, roses, and butterflies?
Right. I mean, we notice with Nick Caserio, he says a lot without saying anything. And someone like Jack Easterby, who speaks for a living, has been a chaplain, is going to be pretty skilled at saying exactly what he wants to say.
But we got to get them sound bites.
That's true.
Jacob and Jacob got the sound bites.
The Jacob and Jacob Show.
The Jacob and Jacob Show. So this is a podcast hosted by some young men. They're both named Jacob, if you didn't guess that. And this is the first time we've heard from Jack Easterby in a while. Now, he was obviously, he's not as hot of a topic now, which honestly, I'm glad because I think it got a little bit overdrawn. But he was a huge topic last year, really among the entire NFL. Mm-hmm. And these two young men asked him a great question, which was, how do you deal with the media and the things that are said on the radio? And this was his answer.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I think it's one of the blessings of being in these positions, right? Is people care. They care so much. So I've always said, you know, anything that's put out there or potentially said in our building or potentially out outside of our building, I always say it's dressed up care, right? It's just, it's different. It may appear different, sound different, but what a blessing it is to have an opportunity to have a job where people care so much, right? And I would say in our building, I've been really blessed over the last 12 months specifically with some of the people that have we've been able to build systems and processes with that really you can just tell they care. And I think externally, when people really care and speak to how important it is to get it right, you know, I think and how much the Houston fan base cares that we get it right. I think those are just affirmations of that, the passion and the energy that go on.
So, look, we could keep going and going. Basically, in a crux, the crux of what he's trying to say is that, one, I'm blessed to be in a spot where these conversations happen because, Vanessa, people care. Hashtag blessed, hashtag so blessed, right. Hashtag blessed. Prayers up. Blessed.
I do. The pressure is a privilege thing is something that I'm a fan of, meaning. And I try to remember this. Maybe this is a psychology thing. When I get a mean tweet or an awful comment or whatever, it's like you're in a position to where you get that flack and you try to take it like a champ. But yeah, I mean, this is an answer that we kind of expect from him. He's a preacher. He's big on positivity. But yeah, I mean, this was the first interview we've heard from him in a while. And look, these young men, they're at pod_Jacob on Twitter, the Jacob and Jacob podcast. We know that they're not going to go full like Mike Florio or Peter King investigative reporter on them. And that's probably why he felt safe doing that interview.
No doubt.
Right. I mean, that's why he's not meeting with us, but he's meeting with them. I would love to hear from him. I would love to ask questions. He had also talked a little bit earlier in the podcast and described his role. This was one of the number one questions I had, was just kind of what he does specifically. He said, quote, it's a support role to ensure that the sports performance teams, logistics, and data and technology elements support the Texans.
Okay. Fairly vague again. But it's an oversight role, the way he described it. He is still someone with some sway in the building, without giving too much information as to how that actually works. And, you know, if I'm listening to that, I don't want to hear him as a part of any of the process anymore, because even if he is perhaps more removed than he was in the past, I just can't help but think about the general managerless days of the Houston Texans and the Bill O'Brien as general manager of the Houston Texans days, where nothing really seemed to make a lot of sense. And I think that he's going to be attached to that forever. So why would you trust him with any of those roles that you just outlined?
I think that so long as Cal McNair owns this team, Jack Easterby is going to be here. So I do think Texans fans in a lot of ways are starting to, accept might be the wrong word, but realize that there's not going to be a change in regime anytime soon, especially with Nick Caserio being a fan of his.
I would say probably never. In the case of Easterby, because now is Easterby in the line of fire with this role that has been outlined? Doesn't really seem like that. And if he's close with the owner,
great point.
You're a made man, essentially, from that perspective. So, yeah. You know, I get wanting to hear him speak more. I don't want to hear him speak more, honestly.
Yeah, I'm on team everybody speaks more that has a front office role.
You're right on that, but my difference is, I just know that everything I hear from him is just going to be a lot of words and not a lot of substance behind it. I mean, you're answering a question about, hey, there's lots of gossip and rumors about you. Where, let's be honest, those gossips and rumors are, he's Rasputin. He is the Rasputin of the Houston Texans. And your answer is, it's just so blessed. I'm so blessed to be in a role where people look at me from that perspective. And that's all he's giving to you, as opposed to saying, like, people hate you, dude. People do not like you here. Whether that's fair or unfair, that is the fact. And his response is, I'm just blessed.
I had a feeling that the Texans probably viewed criticism as something that is a privilege and something that comes from higher above, meaning when we're being criticized, it means that we're doing things right. Because there are a lot of people, and you actually, it's not just the Texans. You hear this from athletes all the time, where they say things like, well, when haters are talking, it means you're going in the right direction. I'm not really doing the Instagram post thing right, but you get what I mean. This
right.
is not, to me, this is not an unexpected answer. Meanwhile, there was an NFL combine, and if you wanted to throw a dart at the board, you can basically say that the Texans kind of need, quote unquote, every position possible. Who were you impressed by? Who did you take note of? I know you didn't do a lot of watching, but when you see the stats on Twitter and you see how guys did, what stood out to you?
I was impressed by how fast everyone is. I mean, this league has gotten faster and faster every single year. When you got a 340-pound dude who's 6'6", a defensive lineman, running a 4.78 40, Jordan Davis. I mean, this is terrifying. He'll never run that. But there's another defensive lineman, Amari Barno, who ran a 4.36 40. That's the fastest by any defensive lineman since 2003, so in 20 years. You got two Baylor guys running 4.23. That was Kalen Barnes and Tyquan Thornton running a 4.28. But then I think about how often are these guys actually running in a straight line like that.
Right.
And on a football field. I think that more that the tea leaves, Vanessa, that we got as potentially what the Texans might do, that is fairly interesting. And the thing that we got, and this comes courtesy of Mike Sando's piece, which he has every single Monday in The Athletic, he went and asked a general manager to essentially do, based off of what he's hearing, a mock draft of the top 10 picks in this year's coming draft. And the Texans, of course, are picking third. Here's what Sando wrote, quote, "The GM went back and forth in his mind on whether to place Kayvon Thibodeau or Notre Dame safety Kyle Hamilton in the slot where the Texans are picking third overall. He went with Thibodeau on the condition Thibodeau worked out well Saturday, which Thibodeau did. Either player would have made sense." So he thinks it's between Thibodeau and Kyle Hamilton, and his reasoning, this GM, unnamed, "You have a defensive head coach there who is known to emphasize traits, so it's between those two, because they have great traits, I guess."
Yeah, I mean, I think that there were a lot of different things that, when you look at the elements of what team is going to want what, and with the Texans, like we had talked during the press conference last week about what are some of the intangibles that they want. I liked what I saw from Malik Willis. Now, do I think the Texans are going to take a quarterback third overall? Probably not, but I thought that he was fast. I thought that he showed a lot of speed. I thought that he had really impressive interviews. He was one of the only players that every single team met with. And then you had the video of him helping out the homeless woman, the pregnant homeless woman on the side of the Indianapolis streets. And we know that the Texans care about things like that. Would they take Malik Willis? I don't know. But stranger things have happened. Wide receiver Garrett Wilson from Ohio State looked great. And then Trayvon Walker, one of the edge rushers out of Georgia. And this is a very loaded edge rushing class in general. But he had a 40-yard dash faster than Alvin Kamara and Devontae Adams. So I think that's something to watch as well.
Yep, a lot of fast people.
All right, not as fast as Paul Gallant, though.
No.
Coming up, Justin Reed with one of the cryptic Instagram posts. We're going to have Pauly G read that for you next.
Shout out to the fish.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Vanessa and Gallant continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
I'm not going to lie. That is, I get it. That's creepy.
It's me, Brock Osweiler. I used to be your quarterback, but now I'm defending Gotham. I don't care if I live or die. I don't know if I'm making a difference in this Gotham City.
I watched The Batman yesterday.
You
it was
did.
Very good. It was very good. I highly recommend you watch it. Totally different vibes than all the Batman movies I've seen before. Very good performances by the villains in the movie. Colin Farrell playing the Penguin. You couldn't even recognize him. And the guy who played the Riddler was creepy as hell.
Why do they keep making new Batmans?
Because Batman's the number one DC movie franchise.
I do. I will say I've seen Batmans. Batman. Different Batman movies.
There's been a bunch of them.
Yeah.
You know, you got Michael Keaton with Jack Nicholson. You had Ben Affleck recently. You had George Clooney in one, which is just an Arnold Schwarzenegger one-liner fest. It's bad, but it's good. A lot of people hate on it. I think it's the most ironically rewatchable one. It's a franchise that clearly has worked and churns out money, and they made $228 million this weekend.
And the one that's with the three is, there's three Batman or three?
That's Spider-Man.
Three Spider-Man.
There were three Spider-Man in the most recent Spider-Man
That's
movie.
Right.
Yes.
There were never three Batman.
Well, there have been in totality.
But not all at once.
And apparently future Batman movie, apparently in a future DC movie, there will be multiple Batman, including Michael Keaton, the original Batman from the 1989 movie, is going to be in it, I guess.
This is actually a serious question.
Yes.
Three Spider-Men were all in one movie together, right?
Correct. Tobey Maguire.
Okay.
Andrew Garfield. And Tom Holland.
Damn, can we get a tall guy in there?
Isn't Andrew Garfield comparatively tall?
I don't want any of them.
You just don't. You're just so heightsist.
You gotta give me a little.
Oh, well, Spider-Man's supposed to be a teenager.
Yeah.
What? You want it to be like some awkward, like 6'6" teenager?
Actually, if I'm going to fantasize, we need to do it right.
You want to fantasize about Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Hey, hang upside down, babe, and kiss me.
Love that idea. Meanwhile, a probably soon-to-be former Texan had what you would describe as kind of a cryptic Instagram post. So I'll just start out by saying I'm a big Justin Reed fan.
Yeah.
Not only what he does on the field, but you know, he does a lot of great things off. Always really easy to deal with media-wise. He posts, doing everything my enemies said I wouldn't. Living dreams they said I couldn't. It's been a whirlwind of emotions leading up to free agency starting next week. I've decided that I will be signing with ... Now, I want you to read this in your voice.
Oh, dramatic voice?
Yeah.
Do you want me to read it like I'm Batman? Do you want me to read it like just like I'm a dork? I mean, what do you want? What do you want here?
Like, whatever you're feeling. Whatever's on the menu.
All right, you know what? I'm in a Batman mood now. Now that we got a little Nirvana going in here, shout out to Noah playing that, coming back in.
Doing everything my enemies said I wouldn't. Living dreams they said I couldn't. It's been a whirlwind of emotions leading up to free agency starting next week. I decided I'll be signing with ...
Do you feel like this means he's gone?
Oh, I feel like he knew he was gone a while back. I do think that Lovie Smith being here and Justin Reed being so vocal about liking Lovie Smith made some people understandably pause a little bit and say, okay, is there a possibility now? But yeah, look, I mean, he wants to get paid and he wants to go somewhere where he can win. He was drafted here. It's been rough. It's been...
I wonder if he's going to get paid, though, just to go back to that. Because, I mean, we discussed this a little bit ago. He was player number 76 as a safety on the list of the top 150 free agents. I love safeties. I think that safety is a very impactful position, but I don't think that the rest of the NFL necessarily feels that way, especially when you see what Jamal Adams in Seattle got, that contract, and what results that has netted for Seattle's defense. You know, I don't think that Justin Reed's going to be in very high demand this offseason. You're right, he probably wants to play for a winner, Vanessa, but I don't think he's going to get paid in a way that he maybe thinks he can.
Well, if it tells you where the state of the Texans was, he was basically the face of the franchise.
Yeah.
I mean, like, legitimately, and he got suspended, which is kind of a different story. So 9528 says, the reason there are so many Batman movies is because there are so many great stories to tell. Different writers have had their interpretation of the character. That's from Eric in Jersey Village.
He's right. I mean, this is a totally different interpretation of the character. And I was actually doing some reading about it last night where Matt Reeves, basically the reason that they play that Nirvana song is because Matt Reeves thinks that, you know, Bruce Wayne's always this playboy who seems like he's got his stuff together. But in this, he makes Bruce Wayne, who is the alter ego of Batman. Bruce Wayne is based off of Kurt Cobain, basically.
What?
Yeah, in a way. Like the personality. Wow. And if you watch it, I mean, he's just completely dead inside, doesn't seem to believe he's actually making a difference, is hated, all sorts of different things. It's a very different interpretation of Batman. That's why I liked it, because all of them have been generally the same, and this felt different, and it felt like the kind of noir vibe that Batman's always been trying to go for but never really has been, because, you know, all the early ones were kind of campy, and the Christopher Nolan one was still not quite campy, but there was a vibe to it where it was an action movie. This was a little bit different, even though there was a lot of action in it. Great chase scene.
Okay. See, now I want to see it.
It's 3 hours though.
No longer do I want to see it. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And Pauly G's favorite player took a little break over the weekend.
Yes, that is true. James Harden was on a back-to-back in Miami, and because his hamstring...
I mean, this guy.
His hamstring has to be... Oh, come on, Vanessa. It's his hamstring. The playoffs are around the corner, and Yeah, he was in Miami on a Friday night, but his hamstring has to be managed. Sure, Joel Embiid and the Sixers, they're trying to play for the one seed, but his hamstring, load management. It was the second night of a back-to-back, and they beat Cleveland the night before. So what's wrong with him being out against Miami, even though Miami is the top dog in the Eastern Conference?
This is what the 76ers fans need to realize. It's always going to be about James. It's always. He's never going to be that guy that's selfless. He's going to be selfish. Like you said, trying to get that number one seed, trying to see the identity of this team with James Harden before the playoffs begin. And he sits out. I'm not a load management fan. Never have been.
Everyone hates it. And look, I get why it happens. There's too many games over the course of an NBA season. And the back-to-backs for guys who are up there in age, I understand why you look at them and you're like, is there really a point to this? Is one game over an 82-game slate really going to make that much of a difference as far as what happens in the playoffs? But at the same time, I think James Harden has a lot to prove. I don't know that he feels that way about himself. But if you want to show that you've got pride, which I think it's very fair to question if he actually has any pride in terms of
in the way his he plays craft. And
yeah, I think, Vanessa, if you are really looking to come and make the Philadelphia 76ers into a championship contender, then you got to do it against the Heat. I don't know if the Heat are going to win this year, but I think that the Heat are one of the toughest teams in basketball. And that toughness, that is something that teams like the 76ers historically in the playoffs have not been able to overcome, have not been able to beat. That's when they melt. So wouldn't you want to at least get a test of the Miami Heat while you're playing with this Philadelphia team? Yeah, you want to manage your hamstring. Maybe you're not going to play 40 minutes over the course of the game or something like that. But forget the jokes that you can make about what he might have been doing on a Friday. If you're James Harden, you should play against Miami. You should get a vibe for what you are going to be going up against, because I think Miami's probably the most serious challenge to the 76ers in the Eastern Conference.
I think that when you are James Harden and you've made it a habit of turning it on when you want to and turning it off when you want to and blaming other people, it's kind of now or never to prove it. And the load management thing drives me nuts in general, because when I was living in Indiana and every time LeBron would come to town, he would sit out against the Pacers. And for me, it's people bring their kids to games to see him and you wait till the last minute. And it's just, you're getting paid to play. Unless you have an actual, like, true injury that needs rest, I think that you should pull up your bootstraps and play. Getting to a little bit of other news around the NFL, the Cowboys expected to release Amari Cooper, asked DeMarcus Lawrence to take a pay cut, and he declined.
Right. So that means that they might be cutting him too.
Yep.
This is a surprising development with the Cowboys. And, you know, Jerry Jones was supposed to speak at the Combine in Indianapolis, but chose not to. And I think he said health reasons or something like that. I think it's really more about the sexual...
Well, technically, a headache is a health reason. Come on.
That's a great point, Vanessa. This is, I think, partly to do with the investigation into the team PR guy who allegedly was creeping on cheerleaders in the locker room. I think it also has to do with this, too. There are a lot of questions about the Cowboys now. And, I mean, if you're Mike McCarthy, you're the head coach of this team, and all of a sudden, I'm not going to act like Amari Cooper is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, but he's a good player. And you're going to lose him. You're possibly going to lose DeMarcus Lawrence. I mean, they asked DeMarcus Ware to take a pay cut back in 2014, and he said no, and guess what? Cut.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that there is a good chance that the Cowboys are going to have to make some serious, serious extra decisions on top of it. If this is all we're hearing thus far, what other decisions might they have to make? You know, that's a team that's got a lot of big contracts on the books.
When we look at everything going on with Russell Wilson, talk, and then really no action. Keep in mind, Russell Wilson has one of those no trade clauses, just like Deshaun Watson. What do you think is going to happen there? We're at the point where with Russell Wilson, where the conversations have kind of died down, and you hear the Washington Commanders and Ron Rivera being very open about the fact that they want a quarterback, and we know that they've offered some picks for him.
They want to make their fans believe that they had a chance. This is akin to, Vanessa, any guy who sees somebody else at a bar, and then somebody before they can, because they were going to do it all night long, somebody else approaches them, and they're like, oh, well, I was going to approach her. I mean, it was going to be a great night for the two of us, but, you know, that guy got in there. This is, I think, kind of the same vibe here. Did Washington actually have a chance at getting him? No. They want everyone to know that they're trying. Great, you're trying. Chicago did the same thing last offseason. It doesn't mean a whole lot. You know, anyone can make a trade proposal, and anyone can shut down a trade proposal just that easily. And I don't think that Russell Wilson would want to go play for the Commanders given some of the issues they've got organizationally.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, more on Russell Wilson, plus Aaron Rodgers, a wedding, a date, an officiant. What? That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, well, yesterday my guy Mike Silver tweeted that Aaron Rodgers would be officiating the wedding of David Bakhtiari, which was yesterday, and said the timing was weird, to which Bakhtiari was not happy. He replied and said, Mike, what the F?
It is a weird thing to tweet, right? I mean, yeah. Why is the timing weird? If they're friends, we have to remember that these people have lives because they are human beings. And even if we do think that Aaron Rodgers is a, hey, I'm the center of the universe at all times kind of guy, I doubt that David Bakhtiari was inviting him to be the officiator at his wedding so that he could continue whether or not Aaron Rodgers will continue to play with the Packers news.
Well, the deadline for applying the franchise tag is 4 p.m. Eastern Tuesday.
Okay.
So the Packers need to know what's up with Rodgers before they decide whether or not to tag Davante Adams. That, again, is per Mike Silver, which we've...
Or vice versa.
We've known that, but... Here was the exact tweet. Today, Packers LT David Bakhtiari is getting married in California. Aaron Rodgers is set to officiate it. Matt LaFleur will be there. Rodgers is likely to tell the Packers what he wants to do by Tuesday afternoon. Timing is kind of wild. I do get what he meant by the timing because this was the deadline that Rodgers had said. Rodgers said, I think I'll know what I'm doing by the franchise tag. So Mike's point, I believe, was, hey, they're all going to be at this wedding. Matt LaFleur will be there, Aaron Rodgers officiating, David Bakhtiari getting married, probably other Packers player and personnel, and
yeah.
It's just going to be this elephant in the massive room of like, so in 2 days, we should know whether or not you're going to flip the entire city of Green Bay around.
Now that I'm thinking about it, I can understand why you would make a little bit out of that. If you are at this wedding, you at the very least have to be curious about what
totally.
Aaron Rodgers is going to do next. Maybe it's not the most important thing on your mind. But yeah, if you're one of those players, and are you going to act slightly more friendly at the wedding? But you don't want to be too annoying. You don't want to be with Aaron all the time and trying to recruit him. But at the same time, aren't you trying to convince him, yeah, it's fun here, man. Hey, let's do some shots. Let's do some Boilermakers.
See,
let's do some Jaeger bombs.
We have fun.
Yeah.
We're like a family.
Woo-hoo.
We have fun.
We can have a good time at the party. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really want to know, because you know that one of those people is unbelievably awkward and probably ask that question. And I doubt that Rodgers...
Oh, one of the wedding guests?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, God. I didn't even think about the actual just guests.
Yeah.
What do? If you're a celebrity at a wedding, even if it is a wedding of someone else who was kind of a celebrity, what do you do? Because someone is going to be annoying.
I know that in the past, when high-profile people have gotten married, that they've put on the invitations and all of that, like
sit me in the corner.
No, like the people getting married print on the wedding, save the dates or whatever, like please no pictures with wedding guests or autographs from wedding guests. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my guess is that they kind of took that vibe and that they know the deal. But you know that there's a drunk uncle named Joe. And Big Joe walks up to Aaron and says, all right, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but you're Aaron freaking Rodgers. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Hey, you're Aaron Rodgers? Oh, I like watching you on Sunday. Hey, you're going to be playing for the Packers here on out. I don't know why he's got like an accent of
yeah,
some
I
sort.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of took my Uncle Joe voice and added just like a Boston
a twang
to it.
Some sort of twang.
Yeah, I mean, look, like the timing is what it is. This is a deadline that Aaron Rodgers had kind of given himself where he had, you know, through leaks and whatnot, had made it clear that he wanted to know by the franchise tag. And he's been open. He said on Pat McAfee he wants Davante Adams back. So we'll see what they do with Davante Adams, but it seems like the two, it's almost like a package deal.
Yeah. The story about the wedding is definitely one where you could say, okay, maybe Mike threw a little bit more gasoline on that tweet than he needed to. I get, though, like, if you actually think about it, why things might have been that way. But going back to Friday, which was where we saw Aaron Rodgers was torn about whether or not he wants to return to the Packers, what you just mentioned, the Davante Adams situation, this is his best way of putting pressure on the Packers to get something with Davante Adams done. And that's a big decision that they're going to have to make. If they don't franchise tag him, I mean, he's a free agent. I imagine he will get the franchise tag because that way they can negotiate in good faith going forward. If they don't franchise tag him at all, then I would assume Aaron Rodgers is gone. I don't think that's very likely to happen.
Do you think that this, even though Aaron, I mean, do you think this drags on into another draft, free agency, training camp? Are we going to be in the same situation we were in last year?
Maybe a year from now, maybe after a season where if the Packers, they make the playoffs, they have a great regular season like they have the last 3 years, and then they lose in the playoffs. They don't make a Super Bowl, definitely. I think we could be there again. But I feel like, at least for this offseason, that we might be getting close to the end of the Aaron Rodgers BS, which I'm glad about.
I mean, the Packers are doing, they are like whining and dining him. They bring back Tom Clements, who was Rodgers' quarterback coach, who he loved for 15 years. They bring him out of retirement.
They did.
If they bring him out of retirement, if they put the franchise tag on Davante Adams, Aaron Rodgers really has no reason to go anywhere else because he has the tools and the equipment, and he has said that he's actually getting along better with the front office.
It wasn't a people place, but now it's a people place.
Now the communication is excellent.
The communication being better, that's all it took. But the communication still not clear enough for Rodgers to give the Packers his decision by this point in time.
I think Rodgers has always been a different cat. I mean, I think we know that. But
he's cat-esque, that's for sure.
The last year where we have not only the vaccination thing, but just his, you know, the cleanse that he's doing where he allegedly forces himself to, like, have diarrhea and just all of the...
Enema.
Like, yeah, puke. The enema. Yeah, weird. All of that, we've just really gotten a better glimpse into how I think personally difficult he could be to work with. Now, do I think Matt LaFleur comes across as the easiest person to work with? Absolutely not.
Really?
No, I don't think he does.
Why not?
I think that there are times where you can see glimpses of where he might not be the easiest person.
Interesting.
You know, he's one of those younger guys. He's one of those younger millennial guys. And not everybody's going to be like a Sean McVay motivator. But yeah, I mean, now who's the more difficult of the two? Come on. right.
Rodgers. Oh, no doubt.
But I don't think that he is this, like, open-minded Ron Rivera guy that everybody loves and adores.
I don't get that vibe either. There's a part of, I think, that for LaFleur where I look at his face, and if I'm Aaron Rodgers or if I'm anybody, am I going to listen to him a little bit differently? There's something about his face.
Really, like you want to listen to him more or less?
Kind of less.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. His face does not look like the face of a football coach. he looks like he's more likely to want to get me a couple of drinks and then tell me about the wonders of NFTs. You know, I don't. He looks more like a businessman to me than he looks like a football
coach. Like, he looks like he should be on Wall Street.
Yeah, he looks like a suit. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I get that vibe from him, but there's something about his young, like, whippersnapper face, even though he's older than me, that I look at and I'm like, if I were in football, would I want to listen to him? And it's entirely based off his face, which is totally unfair, but sometimes we make judgments based off of appearances.
You have one thing in common with Matt LaFleur. Two things, actually.
A beard?
Incredible eyebrows.
Yeah.
I mean, Matt LaFleur.
Psychotic.
Matt LaFleur's eyebrows are immaculate. Noah, our producer, Noah, great eyebrows, right?
They're psychotic eyebrows. That's what, you know, that's what they're described. They describe Roy Kent's eyebrows as in Ted Lasso.
So is it your mom or dad with the great eyebrows?
It's the Gallant family curse.
So your dad?
It's my dad. Yes.
Why do you say it's a curse? Because
this is a unibrow. This would be a unibrow. I plucked this bad boy. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, you got to do work. Got to do work. This is the gals of the family get it, too. You know?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. It's they're thick eyebrows and they look nice, but you gotta clean them up.
Did you have a unibrow for a while?
No, I've never had one.
But you came close.
It would be one if I didn't, you know, do work on it. I was taught to tweeze at a young age. So I tweezed enough and now it doesn't really grow in that thick anymore.
See, I was the opposite. I have to get mine microbladed because the women in my family have like
what
no
does that even mean? Microbladed?
I have a semi-permanent tattoo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Yeah, it's a semi-permanent tattoo.
Someone I went on a tattoo. Not a tattoo. I went on a date to go get a tattoo with her. No, that girl that I went on a date with a couple of weeks ago, she told me that she did that too. So I guess that's a common thing.
Very common because thick eyebrows are in. So in the 90s, everybody plucked them and plucked them and plucked them. Oh. And now the thing is to have like really thick, sexy eyebrows. So what you have is actually in now.
They're real. Yeah, but it's funny though. Anyone who listens or anyone who watches on Twitch, you constantly like get drunk. Ha, idiot! Look at your eyebrows, idiot! You're stupid. Look at your face, and I'm like, thank you. I appreciate that. I do the best I can with what I've got.
Thick eyebrows are in, so you, my friend, are winning.
I guess so.
Yeah,
they do block the sweat. Keep me warm on a long wintry night, like a little blanket.
You're boosting his ego.
Thank you very much. Well, no, you say that like it's a bad thing, Noah. That's fine.
Well, you've been feeling yourself today. You're talking about how fast you are. Now it's your eyebrows.
Yeah. I'm not feeling myself. That's just a fact. Like I have raced friends outside of bars. They have challenged me on this stuff, and I have beaten them every single time.
If you think you can beat Paul Gallant,
drunken flats,
please get at us. The text line, Twitch, call in, tweet us, because we need to make this happen.
Please, because I've told this story before. I'm still mad that guy who wanted to try out for the Texans wouldn't race me.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we put a bow on a Monday, a well-endowed statue, and should babies be allowed in movies? Paul Gallant says no because he has no heart. That's next.
ESPN. 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, you're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 as we wrap up a Monday. Alex Bregman tweeting out about 10 minutes ago a new YouTube episode of his series Spring Training in Lockout. It's been interesting.
Oh. Is he going to have any of his takes on the matter?
He may. I highly doubt it because they're not supposed to talk.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm definitely going to be tuned in for that.
I want to hear something like Lance McCullers, which I got a kick out of. He's clearly trying to make people take his side as opposed to the side of the owners. You know, I'm trying to rehab from serious injury, but just can't work out if I'm not going to the team facilities.
Yeah, he was on with our friend Manav Gupta and talked about that definitely kind of framing
not the Jake and Jake show,
not the Jake,
yeah, the Jacob not, and Jacob, my bad,
Jacob and Jacob in the morning with Jack Easterby.
There is a delicious coffee shop downstairs though called Tom and Tom.
Yes, there is. I didn't know it existed until today.
You're welcome.
You were like, hey Paul, there's this coffee place that I'm at today, and I was like, wait, what? Because I'm cheap and I don't like to pay for coffee.
Troy Aikman will be on with our guys tonight at 5 p.m., so make sure you tune in.
The Wheelhouse with Troy Aikman.
That's actually a really good impression. That might be your best one yet.
ESPN.
Now you sound constipated.
It's the insert random sporting thing.
Paul, you had an interesting tweet over the weekend about children in movie theaters.
Well, I went to see the
Batman
yesterday.
Would you like to tell people what your cold heart said?
Cold heart? Hang on a second. So you want babies to be in movie theaters?
I think babies should be allowed in movie theaters.
What? What's wrong with you? Why?
Absolutely. Do you think babies shouldn't be allowed on planes?
That's totally different, though. You have to travel from point A to point B. If you're in a movie theater and you have a small human child with you, you can't control whether or not that thing babbles or cries. It's not the kid's fault. It's your fault for being a selfish you-know-what. You are a selfish person if you bring your kid to go see a PG-13 rated movie. If it's a kid's movie, fine. I don't care if the kid's 1 year old and go, gaga, gaga. But when the entire The Batman movie is mumbled and the dialogue is, I don't care if I live or die. And Commissioner Gordon's like, Batman, you've gone too far this time, Batman. I don't care. But the whole movie is essentially mumbled. And if I hear someone go, then I can't hear what's going on. You are a selfish jackwagon if you bring your kid to a movie. Get a babysitter or don't go. It's not my fault that you guys decided to procreate. I should not have my $12 experience at the movies ruined by your child. And if the kid starts making noise, I don't know, maybe get up and walk out and try to calm the child down. It's a three-hour movie. You thought the kid was going to be quiet for 3 hours? Vanessa, it's a three-hour movie in 2022!
It does beg the question of why they wouldn't remove the child once the child started being a distraction. Right. I will agree with you on that.
Have security come in and take the baby away. Like, that's very normal. That's fine. I think everyone in that theater, except for those parents, would have been okay with that. I know that's messed up, but
I hope to
put him in a cat carrier.
God, you
and
never
move him
have
out.
Children.
Well, look, my mind will change apparently when I have the kids, because that's apparently what everyone says. Hey, when you have kids, it's different. Okay, it might be.
North Carolina electing not to honor Mike Krzyzewski in his final game at the Dean Dome. Now, this was not his final game at Cameron Indoor, but this was about a week ago. UNC not honoring Mike Krzyzewski, spurning efforts made by other rival schools in the ACC that elected to do so in Coach K's final season with the Blue Devils. This is according to Sports Illustrated. So the other ACC schools did, UNC didn't, and Duke was not happy. Should they have honored Coach K?
No.
Really?
Do you think they should have honored Coach K?
Yes. Now, would it have been met with boos? Would it have been met with... But, you know, like, that's part of it. It's a rivalry. He's one of the greatest college coaches ever. And so, obviously, his last, you know, game at the Dean Dome, you would think that they would have a picture or something.
You're probably right. If we're talking about the mutual respect and the greatest rivals of all time, like, this is supposed to happen. I suppose, you know, even with Mariano Rivera and Derek Jeter with the Yankees, like, the Red Sox they gave them a welcome. But I wonder if that welcome would have been the same had the Red Sox never, you know, say the curse was still going. I don't think that would have happened. But that's a one-sided rivalry, and Bostonians are angry people. It is surprising that a place in the South didn't do this, because I do think that the South cares a little bit more about manners in the Northeast. As someone who has lived in both places. So it is surprising that it didn't happen. I kind of like it. I kind of like that it didn't happen. This whole season's been kind of nauseating with his final run. You made it all about you. The sport is not about the coaches. It's about the players.
Yeah, him announcing, and I've told you in the past that I really used to like Mike Krzyzewski a lot, but him announcing before the season started that he was going to retire and then doing this, like, farewell tour. And it wasn't just that he did a farewell tour, Paul. It was like that he acted like he was so surprised. Like, hey, you guys don't have to honor me, man. It's not about me. Well, then why'd you announce before the season that you were retiring?
Exactly. And that's why he's full of it. And it's fine. We're all full of it. We all love to get the attention that we pretend we don't actually like.
But just admit that you do.
Yeah, exactly. And he's saying, oh, it was a distraction for the players. Because you made it a distraction for the players. And it wasn't a distraction until apparently the game where you lose, where you felt the need to apologize. No, we need to play this clip again, because you can tell he was so into himself in this moment that he was telling people, just listen. Here is Coach K apologizing.
This isn't part of the program. This is impromptu by me. I'm sorry about this afternoon. Please, everyone be quiet. Let me just say, it's unacceptable. Today was unacceptable, but the season has been very acceptable.
Because they lost. He's saying it's unacceptable that they lost.
Right. But what's funny along the way, Vanessa, did you hear it where he says, no, there's no one saying anything. He's like, no, it's about me. And I mean, he knows he's playing the crowd. And honestly, I feel like he rehearsed that. You know, he rehearsed that in case of a loss. They're all going to be like, don't say sorry, Coach K. No. And they didn't really do it there, but then he coached them into doing it. And then afterwards, he's like, yeah, but this was a hell of a ride, right? And everyone's like, yeah, we just lost to a bad North Carolina team.
Meanwhile, a famous statue of Manchester United star Cristiano Ronaldo in his hometown of Funchal, Portugal, I think I nailed that, has been left with a rather shiny crotch. Following years of fondling from overexcited fans. This is because this is a well-endowed statue.
Oh, yeah. He's packing.
And so throughout the – I mean, when I see this, I'm like, hello, Cristiano.
Is he tall enough for you?
It's been a while, if you can't tell. Yeah, he is. He's tall enough.
Okay, so a statue's enough to get you going.
The bulbous crotch is at a perfect height – this is according to the Daily Star – for posing with visitors – with thousands rubbing the same spot over the years. So when you look at a picture of this statue of Cristiano Ronaldo, the whole statue is gold, mm-hmm. and then his crotch is just really, really worn out and shiny.
Right. This is, I guess, in his hometown. He's 6'2", Vanessa. Is that tall enough for you?
Hello.
That's kind of short.
6'2"?
I don't know. The way that you're describing the
height.
That
is more than adequate. And from what I can see by this statue, everything would be fine.
I think you're like all those people on their dating profiles that say 6'6" and taller.
I never said that, but you're like guys.
Are you 7'2"? Otherwise, get the flip out.
You're like the guys that are actually 5'10", 5'11", and say that they're 6 feet.
It says on my license, it's legally
says
binding.
Says on your license.
It's legally binding. So that means that, I mean, look, if they really didn't believe that I'm 6 feet tall, you know what they would have done? Vanessa, they would have taken a look at my license and said, no, we're not doing this. But guess what? It says on my license that...
I'm looking at it right now.
I was like balding on this license. Oh, wait, I don't want to put this out. It's on Twitch.
I
don't want people to steal my identity.
You also have great eyebrows in that
Thank you,
license.
I do. It's distracted from the fact that I was balding like crazy there because Seattle was so sad and oppressive.
How about Big Baby?
Yes. Have you ever done this? You go to a game.
Absolutely.
And you decide, hey, I see open seats in front of me. I'm going to take them. Well, Glenn Big Baby Davis, LSU legend, former Boston Celtic, longtime NBA player, was at a basketball game and he got caught on TV taking some seats that were occupied, and then the people that were supposed to sit in those seats came up and they kicked him out. Now, he was cool about any move back. I knew someone very prominent.
Okay. Very prominent.
In Houston
Paul
media.
With the name drop, not name drop.
Well, I'm not going to do the entire drop, but this person was fantastic at figuring out what seats up front at Toyota Center were unoccupied, and he would, by the end of the game, find a way to navigate into those spots.
It's impressive.
All you got to do is be confident going down the road. But what he would do is he would go on those ticket websites and he would look for seats that were still for sale during the game, and he would move up to those seats during the game. And the key was, so he had like, he would keep an eye on three or four. He would find, and it involved a lot of work, but he'd keep an eye on three or four locations where there were tickets that were available for like one or for two people. And then he would watch the first couple of quarters of the game. And by the time no one showed up, which generally happens, sometimes people show up late and that's always annoying, right? Where someone shows up 2 hours
awkward,
late and you move
I've been
up.
There.
But he was an artist at this. And there were a couple of games that I may or may not have been hanging out with him and joined in on the fun.
That's a good friend.
Yeah, a very good friend.
Terry M. on Twitter says, wouldn't you be the shellfish jackwagon saying, I can't bring my child to a movie?
Well, you're going to bring your kid to see a PG-13 movie? Oh, wow. Parent of the year here. Parent of the year. The movie's like dark. It's about Batman beating up people. And yeah, my 2-year-old needs to see this.
What was the dirtiest movie you were allowed to watch as a kid?
Oh, dang. The first R-rated movie I saw was a Kevin Spacey movie.
Which one?
The Life of David Gale, where he's like a rapist and he's like on death row, but you're not sure if he's actually a rapist or something like that. Yeah. And I'm not talking about Kevin Spacey, by the way. I'm talking about the character, David Gale, in the movie. Yikes.
Mine was The Nutty Professor with Eddie Murphy.
Oh, that's a good one.
That was the first one, the first like PG-13, and man, we watched that and we loved it.
Okay.
That's a classic.
It's a very good one.
Hercules, Hercules.
Oh, yeah, we're going to play The Darkness on the way out. Listen, Houston needs saving.
This
Jack
guy
used to be.
Batman.
I don't care if I live or die. I don't care about anything. All I know is we need Houston to be out of here. And why the hell is the Jacob and Jacob show getting up? Do I need to visit them late at night?
We hope, of course, to at some point hear from Jack Easterby and hear from all of the front office members of all the Houston sports teams. Paul is on. Front office members don't need to talk to the media. I am on the train that they do.
Hey, Jack, you better watch what alley you walk into. You might run into the Batman. And then he'll answer him and he'll say, like, oh, actually, I'm just blessed. I'm blessed to be the most reviled person on the Houston Texans organization.
We're all blessed. Thanks for joining us on this Monday. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Jeremy Branham and Joel Blank, a.k.a. the Killer Bees, are up next.
ESPN 97.5.
Turn your tax refund into a new bathroom at Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Upgrade your bathroom with Max. With more than 1,000 showers, bathtubs, and surrounds, you're sure to find exactly what you need to add luxury and style to your bathroom. Save big on our entire selection of Max bathroom products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.